Well, it is a real honor to join you for this celebration weekend for Keith and Jackie. And as Daniel mentioned, we have been friends for many years, 47 years we have been friends and colleagues. And I know for you at Beulah, you've been blessed for 30 years through the presence and ministry of Keith and Jackie, and it's an honor to be here. As I thought about this weekend of celebration, there were three particular scenes that came to mind. Two I'm going to share very briefly, and the third one is going to come from the text of Scripture. But the first scene is from the work of a gentleman by the name of Robert Zemeckis. Robert Zemeckis is a famous movie producer who, a number of years ago, told the story of one particular individual, a man, and his adventure through life. What's amazing about this movie is that 16-plus minutes of the film, of the movie, focus on the main character doing one thing. And that one thing is running. He runs down the lane from the house in which he lives, and then he runs down the road, and he decides to keep running, and then he runs into town, and he runs through the main street of town. And when he's done that, he says, I just kept running. And he runs to the county line and then to the state line, and then he runs across another state. And over an arc of 3 years, Forrest Gump makes his way across the United States from coast to coast three times. And then there's a scene that is found in the movie. It's a desert scene where Forrest is there, and there's this statement that he makes, and just like that, my running days were over. And I think of Keith and his journey here at Beulah, and he has run a very, very good race, a faithful race. So this scene came to mind of Keith now coming to a point where he is no longer going to be running a race here full-time at Beulah, and there's something yet in store for Keith and Jackie as God leads them, but he has run a very, very good race. I must note, however, that there's one very obvious difference between Keith and Forrest Gump, and it is simply that Keith does not have any hats like Forrest Gump has. So that's scene number one. Scene number two comes to us from the writings of J.R.R. Tolkien. Tolkien, in his classic work, The Hobbit, which is the prequel to The Lord of the Rings, gives a scene of the birthday party of Bilbo Baggins, which also marks the end of a journey for Bilbo and his presence in the Shire. And it marks the beginning of a journey for Frodo and his adventure that unfolds in The Lord of the Rings. I thought of Keith and Daniel and Bilbo Baggins and Frodo. And at this birthday party, it is a day of celebration. Like this weekend is a time of celebration for Keith and Jackie. It's a day of celebration for Bilbo. And as he states, he says, I am 111 today, or 111 years old. Now, Keith isn't that old, we know, but he states a little bit of his ancient journey, and he says, I arrived by barrel at Esgaroth at the Long Lake, and that isn't how Keith arrived here. But at one point, he declares to the gathered, really to his congregation, he says to them, the Tooks and the Brandy Books and the Grubs and the Chubs and the Burroughses and the Brace Girdles and the Good Bodies and the Brock Houses, these were his congregation, his people. He says to them, I want to tell you that I am immensely fond of you all, and that 111 years ago is too short a time to live among such excellent and admirable hobbits. Keith would, I think, echo the sentiment of Bilbo. And then there's a further declaration at the party where Bilbo says the following, and it's a classic statement. I don't know the half of you as well as I should like, and I like less than half of you half as well as you deserve. It's a great statement, and I'm not sure that Keith would say this, but perhaps there's something there. But I need to note with this second scene something else. There's one very obvious difference between Keith and Bilbo, and it's simply that Keith does not have any herringbone sweaters or jackets like Bilbo. I sense you agree. The third scene that I want to focus on is taken from the sacred text of Scripture, from the Old Testament, the book of 2 Kings. And in 2 Kings chapter 2, there is a moment when Elijah, and as I think of this story, Elijah and Elisha, I think of Keith and Daniel. I think of the wonderful way in which there has been a 30-year era. There's also been an era of together walking in the leadership of Beulah. And there's going to be a new era, a new beginning, when Daniel must walk with a mantle of leadership upon his shoulders. And it's a wonderful story that you tell here at Beulah of this succession, this transition of one man of God to another man of God. This particular scene in 2 Kings chapter 2 is a scene where Elijah departs. He takes off his mantle or his coat of leadership, and Elisha must take upon himself the mantle of leadership. In 2 Kings chapter 2, where it begins, they make their way to Bethel together. They then make their way to Jericho together. And from Jericho, they make their way to the banks of the Jordan. At one point, Elijah takes off his mantle, his coat of leadership, and he rolls it up to make it into a kind of staff. He strikes the Jordan River, and the Jordan parts, and they cross the Jordan River together. At one point, then Elijah asks Elisha, "What do you want to do for me? What do you want me to do for you before I go?" And Elisha responds, "I want two shares of your spirit. I want a double portion of what it is that God has put upon your life. That is a great request." And Elijah says, "You ask for something that is difficult. If you see me being taken, it's yours. If you don't see me being taken, you won't receive that double portion." I think it's Elijah's way of saying to Elisha, simply pay attention. Pay attention to what God is doing. Pay attention to what God is doing among us, Elisha. Just pay attention. And when you pay attention, there will be for you a double portion. And Elisha's ministry is very quickly going to begin in terms of that new era. We don't have time to look at what unfolds in that new beginning. But in Elisha's ministry leadership journey, there is a dramatic moment of parting. It's found in verse 11 of chapter 2, 2 Kings. As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire with horses of fire suddenly appeared and separated the two of them. Then Elijah went up into heaven in the whirlwind. And as Elisha watched, he cried out, "My father, my father." When he could see him no longer, he took off his own clothes and he tore them. And then he looked down at the ground and he saw the mantle of Elijah, the coat of Elijah. And then he stood on the bank of the Jordan and he took that mantle in the same way that Elijah had rolled it up. He rolled it up and he struck the water and he walked through as if on dry ground, went to the other side, and his ministry was affirmed by the school of the prophets. But I'm intrigued by this idea and this image of the mantle. And before I dive into that, I want you to know this is one of Keith's favorite Old Testament passages and Old Testament stories and narratives. Because when you analyze these words in verse 11, there's this phrase, "a chariot of fire with horses of fire." And when you read that carefully, you begin to realize a chariot. And if you use a hard CH, you see the word car. Chariot. Read car is hot. And you follow the words here. It's a chariot of fire with horses of fire. A car hot that is really hot. With horsepower that is really hot. The reason that Keith loves this is that Elijah left in a very, very hot car. I mean, there's nothing better for Keith in this story. And then you look at the actual Hebrew word for chariot. And the Hebrew word for chariot is rekheb. I don't know about you, but that sounds a lot like Tesla to me. Well, at least it's two syllables. I mean, but, you know, it's a classic story, and Keith loves this story for that reason. But Elisha finds himself at this moment, this dramatic moment of parting, and it's a hard day for him. It's a hard, hard day. He is now realizing he is on his own adventure. Beyond the familiar and the known presence of Elijah, but he has the mantle. He has the coat of Elijah. What is left is a remembrance of character, of integrity, of faith, of courage, of boldness, of steadfastness, of humility. It's a visible reminder to Elisha of a life and a faith that is well lived. Isn't it interesting that we have not lost a sense of this Old Testament word mantle? We often talk about a mantle of leadership, the mantle of leadership that rests upon the shoulders of a leader. But here's the experience of humankind. The mantle of leadership is worn every day. It's worn every day in many different places, but in terms of spiritual leadership, in terms of church leadership, the mantle of leadership is vitally, vitally important. And it's worn every day, and to realize that that mantle of leadership can be a source of encouragement, of heart blessing. It can heal a land. But it can also be worn in such a way that it can be a point of discouragement and heartbreaking and fracturing of worlds. There's more than one way to wear the coat. There's more than one way to wear the mantle of leadership. Teresa of Avila many years ago said, we must always remember there is more than one way to be in a place. There's also more than one way to wear the mantle of leadership. And I think in this moment, Elisha is being given a lesson. Simply a reminder by the God of heaven, Elisha, you too have a mantle of leadership, and be very aware of how you wear that coat. This is something that history itself has taught us much concerning the real things that are at stake concerning the mantle of leadership and the coat that we wear. Mary Chapin, a number of years ago, wrote a classic book entitled Of Whom the World Was Not Worthy. The story is told of the sufferings of the church in Yugoslavia, of so much wrong that was perpetrated by, sadly, ecclesiastical and church authority. That which was done in the name of Christ at times was not enriching. It actually was not empowering. It was corrupt, and terrible things occurred. The story is told of a pastor by the name of Pastor Yakov. Pastor Yakov arrived in a certain small village in Yugoslavia and befriended a man by the name of Zimmerman. And they talked together of their own life experience and their own sufferings. And Zimmerman went on about the tragedies that he had experienced. And Yakov said, I am here to simply communicate to you the love of Christ. And with that, Zimmerman said, I don't want to hear anything you have to say about the love of Christ. I want nothing to do with Christianity. There's a dreadful history that he then began to recall of plundering and exploiting. And he said, you know, they came in with their elaborate robes and their coats they called the coats of Christ. And they did so much harm, so much evil design was in their lives that I cannot ignore it. I don't want to listen to you. Yakov continued to come back to the village, and he was looking for an occasion to somehow change the mind of this man. So one day he came into the village and he said, Zimmerman, can I ask you a question? Suppose that I were to steal your coat and I were to put it on and break into a bank, and suppose further that the police sighted me in the distance but could not catch up with me, but one clue put them onto your track. They recognized your coat. Now, what would you say if they came to your house and accused you of breaking into the bank? Zimmerman said, I would deny it. Ah, but we saw your coat, they would say, retorted Yakov. This particular analogy annoyed Zimmerman to no end. He ordered Yakov to leave his house. Continued to return to the village. He continued to seek to encourage Zimmerman. He continued to love him. He continued to seek to share the love of Christ with him. And he persisted. And one day Zimmerman turned to Yakov and said, Yakov, how does one become a follower of this Christ that you follow? And Yakov took the time to teach him about faith and the simple steps of repentance for sin and of trust in the work of Jesus Christ, and gently pointed him to the one who longed to be the shepherd of his soul. And Zimmerman, as Mary Chapin tells the story, he bent his knee on the soil with his head bowed, and he surrendered his life to Christ. As he rose to his feet, he was wiping tears from his eyes. He embraced Pastor Yaakov, and he said, "Thank you for being in my life." And then he pointed to the heavens, and he whispered in his ear, "You wear his coat very well." You see, this matter of the mantle of leadership is vitally important. And you as a congregation have been blessed, and it is our prayer that you will continue to be blessed by spiritual leadership that longs to encourage and love and to be in your lives, to bless your hearts, to heal a land, to better not only your church, but the very community in which you live. And this weekend of celebration is really our opportunity to, in a simple way, say to Keith and Jackie Taylor, "Thank you for being in our lives. You have worn his coat very, very well."